Good morning and welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we are going to be completing Melachim Aleph. This is Perek Chof Beis, the 22nd and last chapter of Melachim Aleph. So today is a day to reward yourselves. If you've gotten this far, that's quite an incredible achievement. And take something extra to eat, do something which really you enjoy and you don't usually do, just as a way to reward yourself for this incredible achievement. We are going to be climbing forward to Melachim Beis, God willing, carrying straight on. Here we go. So it's a long perek, and it describes, we're at this point in time where really the topic is the end of Achav. So there's an unusual alliance which happens. There seems to be this peace between Aram in the north and Bnei Israel in the south. However, it sounds like the contract that Hadad, as a refugee, had promised to Achav was not kept, and so Achav wants to go and attack. However, in order to do this, he forms an alliance with Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is the son of Asa, the king of Yehuda. So we have the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom of Israel uniting. And when he asks him for an alliance, the response of Jehoshaphat was, "Kamoni kamocha, kami kamecha, kesusai kesusecha." I'm like yourself, my nation is your nation, and my horses are your horses. Meaning to say he's giving him a full alliance. The Chida points out that it sounds like that Jehoshaphat has either not heard of Eliyahu's prophecy of doom to Achav and his house, or he thinks that Achav's tshuva may have ameliorated the issues. It is very interesting. It sounds almost messianic, as Jehoshaphat is trying to bring the two kingdoms back together. Okay, so what actually happens? So before they go out into war, Jehoshaphat says to the king of Israel, to Achav, "Well, let's do me a favor. Let's speak to the Nevi'im first." So Achav aligns 400 Nevi'im, and they all come in front of him, and they all say unanimously that they're going to succeed, right? And they say, no, go to Ramoth Gilead, and there's no to Ramoth Gilead to fight, and you'll not have any problems. Okay, so Jehoshaphat says, "Ha'ein po Navi la Hashem, or is there no like Navi to Hashem anymore?" So Achav says, "Well, there is this one guy. There's this person called Michayahu ben Amaliah, but he hates me, and every time he says something, it's always bad against me." So they send for him, and what happens is, as he's going, the prophets continue to prophesy that they're going to be successful. And this is one lead prophet whose name is Tzidkiah ben Kanana, who puts on these horns of these symbolistic horns of iron, and says these are going to be the horns that you conquer Aram with. And all the Nevi'im are saying yes. So then the messenger arrives at the house of Michael ben Amaliah, and he says to him, "You got to really fall in line with everybody else." And Michael says, "I'll say whatever Hashem says to me." He arrives in front of Achav, and Achav says, "So Nu, what do you say?" And he says, "No, Michael says, go to Ramoth Gilead. Yeah, Hashem will give them in your hand." The king says, "I've made you swear, don't lie to me. Tell me what you really think." And so Michael then changes his tune, and he says, "What I see is that everybody's going to be returning in peace, except they're not going to have a king." And the king said to Jehoshaphat, "You see, I told you, he hates me. Look at this guy. He says, everybody's going to return for battle except from me." Clearly he was suspicious. The Mitzvot points out that Michael the first time did not say that he was saying it in the name of Hashem, which is perhaps what made Achav suspicious. Nonetheless, this is what he says. So they question him further. They said, "Well, what do you see?" So he says, "Well, I went up to the throne chamber of Hashem, and I saw that the whole court of Hashem, the whole cabinet was in front of Hashem, and Hashem says, I want Achav to die. So who will go and allow him and seduce him to die, to go against the Ramoth Gilead, to go into this battle in which will be the end?" So a spirit came in front of Hashem and said, "I will seduce him to seduce him. And Hashem asked the spirit, "How?" So he says, "Well, I'll convince all the Nevi'im to give the prophecy falsely." And that's exactly what happened. In other words, what Michayahu is saying is the fact that everybody else had this Nevuah that was saying that they would be successful was the false Nevuah based on this spirit. At this point in time, in the middle of this whole thing, you can imagine what happens. Tzidkiah ben Kanana, who's this lead prophet of all these 400 prophets, gets up and hits Michayahu in the face. And, for an insult to saying that he's been prophesizing falsely. And the king goes and takes Michayahu, puts him in prison, and says he has to be fed on a mayim belachatz, a lechem belachatz, a very small, shallow diet till they get back from war. And as they're going, Michiel cries out to them, Imshov toshuv b'shalom, if you return in peace, lo diber Hashem bi, that Hashem never spoke through me. Very, very dire warning, and out they go to war. As they go out to war, Achav tells Jehoshaphat, please, you can wear your royal garb, but I'm not going to wear my royal garb. The Metzudas points out that he really is scared that he's going to be targeted because of this prophecy, and he wants to go undercover, where he realizes Jehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, has no prophecy against him. So no problem, he can go ahead. They go out into war, and in fact, the king of Aram says, don't go after the small fish, don't go after the officers, only go after the king, he tells the archers. And in fact, that's what they do. They notice Jehoshaphat is the only person dressed up as a king, and they start attacking him. And Jehoshaphat cries out, and as the archers realize it's not Achav, they desist. But in the meantime, while this is all happening, there's Achav undercover because he's not wearing the royal garb. And there's an archer who seems to be shooting randomly. This is a, we'll call it a stray bullet. And he doesn't even shoot to hit a person. He shoots an arrow. The arrow comes, goes straight through the a hole in the chainmail that Achav is wearing, and Achav is hit. And he tells his chariot driver, "I'm sick." And after the end of the day of the battle, he goes back. In the meantime, he's bleeding down onto his whole chariot. He comes back and he dies. And they bury him in the funeral plot of his father Omri. They wash down his chariot on the way back. After he's dead, and the blood which comes off the chariot forms in the same pool of the blood of Navos, and the dogs lick up his blood, as the prophecy of Eliyahu had said. It seems when he says that he's only sick, the Ralbag points out that he's trying to keep up the spirits of his people, not to say that he was actually hit, but he's not feeling well. So they will carry on fighting in battle, and that's what happened. Everybody returns in peace. It is interesting to notice that the people didn't suffer, even though the original prophecy of Eliyahu was that everybody else would suffer and also come back in disarray and be killed. Nonetheless, because Michiel took that symbolic hit and bled in his symbolic prophecy in the last parak, that's what ultimately saved Israel. He took that blood for Israel. Okay, at the end of the parak, it describes that Jehoshaphat was very successful, like his father. He kept away all Avodah Zorah. He allowed the bombers to stay. He, in fact, got rid of the Kodesh, which sounds like there was immoral activities going on in their territory, and he got rid of that, which his father did not do. And the parak ends by telling us that he actually tried to send boats to Tarshish for trade, boats of Tarshish to Ophira, that's bound down to Ethiopia, like Shlomo Melech did, but they all got broken. And then Ahaziahu, who's the son of Achav, who rules after him, said, let's do this again. And Jehoshaphat says, no, there's no longer a partnership. And Jehoshaphat passes away, and then we're told that Ahaziahu does terrible things following Achav, and this is where the Sefer ends. So one or two things just to notice that's worthwhile noticing. One thing that the Radak points out, quoting Chazal, is that one of the reasons we know that the Nevi'im, these 400 Nevi'im are false, is because they all say the same thing. It is not possible for 400 Nevi'im to say the same thing, because each of them has a personality filter which will change the way he sees it. And therefore, the clearest indication that Jehoshaphat knew that they were not true is the fact that they said exactly the same words in exactly the same way. Who is the spirit? What is the spirit that's there, that's coming to seduce all these Nevi'im? So the Malbim points out very remarkably, all the Mephoshim point out, that it was in fact the Neshama of Navos, the murdered man who had his vineyard taken. This is the spirit who was killed for false testimony for cursing the king. So what does he do? He says to Hashem, Mira keneged Mira, I'm going to give false testimony to get Achav killed. That's the retribution which is happening, and the blood will mix with the blood. It's almost like the Neshama itself is the Goel Hadam, is the redeemer of the blood of Navos itself, which you see is really terrifying. At the end of this over here, just when closing this parak, this is the end of Sefer Melachim Aleph, which says that it's obviously a very important moment, and it's strange because it just continues with Ahaziahu, as we'll see in Melachim Beis. Why at this moment? It sounds like that the idea that Jehoshaphat is trying to create this unity of the two kingdoms, he's sending boats to Ophira, like Shlomo Melech did, he's trying to pull the kingdom together. The parak closes, the book closes, with he's saying, no, we can't do that again. As Divrei Hayom points out with the fuller explanation as quoted by the Radak over here, he tried the first round of boats. He sent 10 boats down to Ophir, and they all got destroyed in a storm. Part of the reason is because he did it in combination with Ahaziahu. And the lesson that finally was being taught is there is no way to unify the north and the south. And this allows us now, perhaps, the south to succeed independently. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day. Mazel tov.